بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders and our mothers at home listening over the receiver, Alhamdulillah, we heard the sixth juz in Taraweeh Salah today. So yesterday we had commenced Surah An-Nisa. And I said it is a long surah. And Surah An-Nisa was completed in the first juz of the sixth para. And then we started Surah Al-Ma'idah. Ma'idah means a table, it also means food. Inshallah, tomorrow we'll explain because Surah Al-Ma'idah continues and finishes off in the first quarter of the seventh juz. And in that juz, right in the end of Surah Al-Ma'idah, there is explanation about Ma'idah. And because of that verse, Allah the name of this surah is known as Surah Al-Ma'idah. So in the sixth juz also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions many important laws. Unlike Surah An-Nisa, in Surah An-Nisa, we mentioned yesterday a lot of laws pertaining to the women folk, to the orphans, to the yatim. In Surah Al-Ma'idah, first of all, when this surah was revealed, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was mounted on a camel. And as the surah was being revealed, verse upon verse, the weight of the wahi that was coming upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this camel could not bear the weight. So the camel actually knelt down and sat down. And this is the power of the Quran and Majid and the power of the wahi. That when wahi would come down upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would actually perspire profusely. Beads of perspiration could be seen on his face, even though it may have been a winter's morning, winter's day. Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu ta'ala is sitting and Rasulullah sallam is lying, has placed his Mubarak head on the lap of Zayd bin Thabit and some verses were being revealed. Zayd bin Thabit says, I feel as though my thigh was cracking into two because of the weight of the wahi. So when Surah Al-Ma'idah was being revealed, then we find that the camel knelt down. This is not a Makki surah, it is a Madani surah. So as I mentioned, the Madani surah, many laws came down. Remember, we had Medina was being built and this Islamic state, Islamic city was being built. It required those legislative laws and rulings so that this community could be built, fortified. They understand exactly what are the injunctions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They could live as true believers. So all these legislative aspects were there to strengthen this the believers and this Islamic state that was formed by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam so that they could live peacefully and obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all aspects of life. In Surah Al-Ma'idah, right in the beginning, opening verse, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu awfu bil'uqood. Immediately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, opening verse, O believers, fulfill your pacts, your covenants, your promises. Whatever uqood you have made, aqd is a transaction, it is a promise, it is an oath that you have taken. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the believers to fulfill the oaths. Also in this surah, about sacrificial animals that we make qurbani of, has been discussed. Any animal that is slaughtered has to be slaughtered in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, we cannot slaughter every single type of animal. There are certain types of animals which are permissible for us, like how we have the cow, the goat, and qurbani, the sheep. But that too has to be slaughtered in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it is slaughtered in the name of anybody besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that animal becomes haram. Also in this surah, we heard about those animals that are throttled to death, those animals that are beaten to death, those animals that fall on their own to death. And aspects of hunting also has been mentioned in the surah. The punishment for theft, and this is another very important issue we mentioned yesterday, inheritance, the laws of inheritance. And I explained to you the wisdom behind why, of course we explained in detail, why a male gets double the share than a female, and that too, not in every single case, in many cases, or most of the case, but I explained to you the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the fact that Allah ta'ala's words and Allah ta'ala's commands are absolutely pure, perfect. In this verse we read today, Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum. Today I have perfected your deen for you and completed it for you. I have completed my bounty upon you. This verse was revealed on a Friday, day of Arafah, 9th of Dhul Hijjah, in the 10th year after the Hijrah. Friday, day of Arafah. Plus minus 124,000 Sahaba with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What a moment, what a great auspicious occasion. Not only Friday, which is a day of Eid for a believer, day of Arafah also. One Yahud, in some narrations, it mentioned he came to Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. Other narrations, to Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala. This Yahud said, you know, there's a verse in your Quran. If it had been revealed to us, we'll take that day as the day of Eid. Umar said, which verse are you talking about? He said, this verse, Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala and both Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala on the various occasions, they both said, we know exactly when this verse came. Came on a Friday, came on the day of Arafat. And that's the day when a believer devotes himself totally to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's no need for us to make merriment and rejoice. Our Eid is that we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the day when Allah tells us to rejoice, there is the day we take as Eid and then we rejoice. So here, Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum Wa Atmamtu Alaykum Ni'mati Wa Raditu Lakum Al-Islam Deena. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had perfected this deen. It is complete. There is no room whatsoever for any improvement now or any reforming. Let us understand this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's kalam, Allah's Quran. Allah created you and I. Allah created dunya, Allah created akhirat. Allah is ma'budi haqiqi. Allah is the only deity worthy of being worshipped. He is the master. He has got complete control over every single thing. We are all His servants and His slaves. He knows what is best for us. The wisdom of Allah, we cannot understand, comprehend. Allah will never make us do something which is going to be harmful to us. So again, if we understood this, then we will understand that this deen is perfect and complete. There is no need now for reforming any aspect of deen, or changing any verse, or reinterpreting any verse, or changing the meaning of any verse to suit our whims and fancies. It requires no improvement. It requires no reforming. And the ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala, Allah says, I have completed. Remember, this came right towards the end of the life of Rasulullah, plus minus 82 days before the demise of Rasulullah. This verse came down. It was such a time that Allah gave full strength to the believers. Prior to that, many wars and battles took place, Badr, Uhud, Khandaq, etc. So, by this time, after the conquest of Makkah, Fatih Makkah, many people and tribes around Makkah, they all came and embraced Islam. They saw this is the true religion. There was never a gathering previously than the gathering of this day of Arafat in the company of Rasulullah, so many thousand Sahaba. Islam had gained its physical strength also. So this was also a ni'mat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also the deen was now complete and perfect. So Allah ta'ala emphasizes, or Islam details every facet of a life of a believer. Everything that we require, our eating, there are laws, there are masail, what we can eat, what we can't eat. Our business dealings also. There are laws revolving our business dealings. As I mentioned, promises we make, transactions that we undertake, all these things, our nikah, talaq, iddat, even hunting, even ihram, every single thing. There is no deen that goes to such detail. There is no deen that gives such detail for every aspect. In fact, once somebody laughed in the time of Rasulullah, they told Salman Farsi, your Nabi teaches you even to go to the toilet. He said, yes. We are taught how to sit in the toilet, not facing the Qibla. How to make istinja also, our deen shows us, and we should be proud of it. We don't need to stand and urinate it any way we feel like. We've got haya in us. Such a beautiful, pure deen. As I mentioned, we took this deen and we locked it up in the wardrobe, in the closet, and we're not portraying this deen. We do it happily. We should never be ashamed of ourselves. When we're traveling, of course, don't come in somebody's way. But even if you're standing, you're reading salat on one side, but don't hide behind some pillar, some wall, and quickly reading, you don't want anybody to see you, feeling ma'ad Allah, embarrassed? No. We should be proud. This is, it has some attraction, some pull in it. We won't understand. A disbeliever, when he sees the salat of a believer, he will become attracted to it if you're reading properly for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in this surah, وَالسَّارِقُ وَالسَّارِقَةُ فَقْطَعُوا أَيْدِيَهُمَا, that a thief, male and female, the law is you must chop off his hand, her hand. Again, as I mentioned yesterday, you see there are a few things, inheritance laws, and the laws of zina, that when you are going to stone the person to death, or you're going to lash the person, and chopping of the hands. The West only brings these aspects. Oh, see your Islam. What Islam is preaching? The other 1,000 things, they don't even talk about it. And this also they find a fault because they do not have understanding of the hikmah, the wisdom behind these laws. If there is theft taking place in a society, and the thieves are not apprehended, justice does not prevail, and they are just let off scot-free. Even if they're caught, sent to prison for one day, half a day, and the person is out again, is on bail. Don't we read, the person was caught, he killed others. We talk about serial killers. Man killed so many people, and now there's a hunt for him, they're looking for him. He escaped where? From the prison cells. When justice doesn't prevail, we'll find there'll be a rot in society. Allah Ta'ala doesn't make people just lose their hands. No, 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 no. The real thing is social justice. That somebody's property was taken. And also, saraqa in fiqh, you'll understand, is not just stealing anything, it is stealing from a place where it is protected and there are various masail. Nonetheless, if a person steals, he confesses, or he's caught stealing, and now his hand is chopped off, he will not do this crime again. It will become a deterrent for many, many others in society. Oh, oh, see, this happened to him. I will also not do it. We find in Saudi Arabia and other countries now, I don't know what the condition, but previously, we could see the people would leave their shops literally open during Salah. And we should be amazed. The man has just got like a, not even a curtain, just some type of material, and all his things are there open in the stall. Nobody will dare take anything from there. Why? Because this is the hikmah. It becomes a deterrent. Allah Ta'ala wants a peaceful society to prevail. So when there are no thieves, there are no rogues, and then you'll have peace. But this is, there are thieves, there are rogues, you're living in fear. And when the thieves are not apprehended, then we find there will be a rot in society. And therefore, this is one of the wisdom why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept this type of hukam, which is not barbaric, not inhumane, what the West alleges, ma'adallah. Allah himself says, nakalam min Allah. The word nakal means, it is a lesson for others. It is a lesson for others. In this surah, I'll just quickly mention again, it's a very beautiful surah. A very nice incident took place, which Allah Ta'ala mentions. Allah Ta'ala talks about Habil and Qabil. Now, Adam alayhi salatu salam, we have to understand, Adam and Hawa, they came to this world, and now they have to be procreation. So Allah Ta'ala at that time made it such that Adam and Hawa, they give birth. And each time they give birth to twins. So there's one set of twins, a boy and a girl, and then another boy and a girl. Allah had made it such that the brother of this twin has to marry the sister of this pair. And that sister must marry this brother. It so happened that Habil, with a ha, Habil's sister was not very good looking. Qabil's sister, very beautiful. Habil had to marry Qabil, and Habil had to marry the sister of Qabil, and Qabil had to marry the sister of Habil. But Qabil saw that Habil's sister, she's not pretty at all. So he refused. But this was the law, not of Adam, alayhi salam, the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala talks about in the Quran, وَطْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ نَبَأَ بَنَيْ آدَمَ بِالْحَقِّ. Allah says, and recite to who? The Ahl Kitab. The incident, the story of the two sons of Adam bilhaq. Recite it properly, with truth. Make them understand. You see the Yahud in Surah Al-Ma'idah before this, they had said, نَحْنُ أَبَنَاءُ اللَّهِ وَقَالَتِ الْيَهُودُ وَالنَّصَارَى. The Ahl Kitab, Yahud and Nasara. We talk about Ahl Kitab, people of the book, refers to the Yahud and Nasara. They said, نَحْنُ أَبَنَاءُ اللَّهِ وَأَحِبَّاءُ. They came from the progeny of Anbiya alayhi muslimat, of prophets and messengers. So their forefathers were messengers. So they should be very, very proud over this. And they felt that since our forefathers and our grandfathers and great-grandfathers were messengers and they were prophets, then we are superior to others. We are favored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are His beloved ones and chosen ones, ahibba'u. So even though we may disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are still better than others whose fathers and grandfathers were not prophets. So they made, as the Thani Ramadullah says, intisab, they link the connection with the salihin, and then they boasted about it, but they themselves, their lives, was not a pious one. They disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala Himself says, قُلْ فَلِمَ يُعَذِبُكُمْ بِذُنُوبِكُمْ. If that's the case, you are chosen, you are special, then why will Allah punish you because of your sins? They did believe and they did accept this. Because in the first para, in the last quarter, وَقَالَتِ الْيَهُودُ لِيسَتِ النَّصَارَ عَلَى شِيءٍ وَقَالَتِ النَّصَارَ لِيسَتِ. In the verse they got, that the fire of Jahannam won't touch us except for a few days. And then we'll come out, and then the you Muslims, you will be going to Jahannam. But they accepted this point that they will also go into the fire for a little while because of the sins. So Allah is saying, قُلْ فَلِمَ يُعَذِبُكُمْ بِذُنُوبِكُمْ. Then why will Allah punish you because of your sins if you are a chosen group? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَلْ أَنْتُمْ بَشَرْ. But you are just human beings. From what Allah has created. If Allah wishes to forgive you, Allah forgives. If Allah wishes to forgive any person, He has the prerogative. Allah wishes to punish any person, He has the right. You cannot say that no, you are exclusive and you are superior to others. So they made their link to the Anbiya and they felt now they could do what they wanted to do. Now Allah Ta'ala is telling Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, tell them about the two sons of Adam, Habil and Qabil. When Qabil saw, no, I am not going to accept the sister of Habil in my nikah. He disobeyed the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Adam alayhi salatu wasalam told him, no, you cannot do this. He said, no, this is your law. He told his father, this is your law. This is not the law of Allah. So Adam alayhi salam told him, okay, that present some sadaqah before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, some qurbani, some sacrifice. In those times, in those sharia, like how we have qurbani, we make a sacrifice, and alhamdulillah, Allah is so kind, to this ummah. Believe me, you do not know what our position is in the eyes of Allah, and how Allah is favored this ummah of Rasulullah. When we make qurbani, the animal, The whole animal is permissible for us to eat. The entire animal. In those times, that animal was placed in front and the qabooliyat sign that Allah has accepted your sacrifice, a fire would come and devour that animal or whatever they presented as a sacrifice, and that was a sign that Allah accepted your qurbani. So Habil, he had harvested his crops. He was a farmer. He put forward, Habil was a, had livestock. So he presented his sheep, his goats. Qabil, he presented his crops, his grain. And some Mufassirin have even mentioned that he chose a very inferior quality and he put that forward. So both of them put their qurbani forward. So Allah says, is qarraba qurbanan. Both put their qurbani in front. فَتُقُبِّلَ مِنْ أَحَدِهِمَا وَلَمْ يُتَقَبَّلْ مِنَ الْآخَرِ. Once qurbani was accepted, whose? Habil. Habil obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He married the sister of Qabil. He was prepared. He didn't do anything wrong. He obeyed the instruction of Allah ta'ala. Qabil refused, so he disobeyed Allah ta'ala. So his sacrifice was not accepted. The fire did not come and eat his. When this happened, he said, قَالَ لَأَقْتُلَنَّكَ. Qabil said, I'm going to kill you. Habil tries to explain to him, Bay, what wrong did I do? مَا ذَنْبِي, what's my guna? I did nothing. I obeyed Allah. My sacrifice was accepted. He said, if you have to kill me, I am not going to put my hand forward and attack you or harm you or defend myself even. Qabil, it was his nafs within him that prompted him now to go forward. When a man is bent on some guna, he's made up his mind to do something, then the nafs, not much of the nafs is required now to prod him, to push him forward and spur him on to complete and fulfill that desire that he has. So it was his nafs then that prompted him forward. So when he said, قَالَ لَأَقْتُلَنَّكَ, Habil immediately said, قَالَ إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Listen here. I did what Allah Ta'ala commanded me to do. So there was taqwa. And remember, Allah accepts sacrifice of the muttaqeen. Exactly in our qurbani. What ayat do we recite during those days? لَيَّنَا لَاللَّهَ لُحُمُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا وَلَا كِيَّنَا لُهُدْ taqwa minkum. It's not the blood, it's not the flesh of the animal that reaches Allah. Allah sees our taqwa. Are we doing it because Allah has commanded us? Are we doing it solely for the sake of Allah? Are we doing it for show? What are we doing it for? Who are we doing it? We're doing it for Allah. That's what Allah wants to see. So he says, see, I put my sacrifice forward and Allah accepts those who are muttaqeen. You disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah ta'ala rejected your sacrifice. لَإِن بَسَطَّ إِلَيَّ يَدَكَ لِتَقْتُلَنِي مَا أَنَا بِبَاسِطِ يَدِيَ إِلَيْكَ لِأَقْتُلَكَ. He says, if you're going to put your hand forward to kill me, well, I'm not going to do anything. I've got no reason to kill you. Remember, in that Shariat also, to defend oneself, when somebody was attacking them, they had no instruction and command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he didn't do it. Our Shariat, somebody is attacking you, you have every right to defend yourself. He says, إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهَ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. I fear Allah, the Rabb of the Alameen. And he says, إِنِّي أُرِيدُ أَن تَبُوءَ بِإِثْمِي وَإِثْمِكَ فَتَكُونَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ النَّارِ. If you're going to kill me, well, my, whatever wrongs I have done also, and whatever wrong you are doing, you are going to go with all the wrongs and all the sin. I will be innocent, I will be forgiven for my sins, my past, but you will be taking my sins and your sins because you have done wrong. وَذَلِكَ جَزَاءُ الظَّالِمِينَ. This is the punishment of the oppressors. فَطَوَّعَتْ لَهُ نَفْسُهُ قَتْلَ أَخِيهِ فَقَتَلَهُ فَأَصْبَحَ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. As I mentioned, his nafs prompted him to go and kill his blood brother. He became from the khasirin, from the losers. In this world he lost. Why? He disobeyed, first of all, his father's command. There is a big loss for him in this world. The other thing, some Mufassirin have mentioned that his entire body became completely black like charcoal. And the third one, he moved away, he fled to Adan, which was in Yemen,
Shaitan came and then told him, hey, you know what? You see, your brother Habil, kana yakhdumun nar. He was actually making khidmat and seeing to the fire. And that is why his sacrifice was accepted by the fire. So, bana baytan fihi an-nar. So what Qabil did now, shaitan, look at shaitan. This is the cunning nature of shaitan. And his makar and fareb, his deception. The very first person to build a house of fire and he began to worship that fire was Qabil also. So Qabil killed Habil. It is mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ, till the day of Qiyamah, every single person who is a killer, he unjustly kill any person in this world, he'll get the sin for it, but the sin will also be upon the shoulders of Qabil, because he is the first person to start off killing and introduce killing in this world, unjust killing. And therefore, Rasulullah mentioned, man sanna sunnatan hasanatan, whoever initiates something good, which is within the limits of Sharia and accepted, authorized by Sharia, then every other person who follows that, he'll get the sawab. For example, simple, we recite Quran Sharif. There was no Quran being recited and we started reciting Quran. So others came, they followed, they also started reading Quran. So we'll get the sawab for our recitation, and others who followed us, they'll also get the sawab for it. But that person who initiates something evil, he starts a casino, for example, or some gambling. So he has built that thing, he gets the sin for it, and others who also come in and they follow that, they'll get the sin, plus he'll get the sin because he initiated something evil. Therefore, it is very, very important for us, whatever we do, initiate good deeds instead of initiating bad deeds. So the sin will also be on the head of Qabil. Now, after he killed him, he's looking at the body of his brother. He had the brother's body is just lying there. فَبَعَثَ اللَّهُ غُرَابًا يَبْحَثُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Allah Ta'ala then sent a crow. And the crow began to dig in the earth. And then, so this, he's watching. The crow had killed another crow. And then this crow takes its beak and begins to dig into the ground. And then it takes the body or the carcass of the other crow and it buries it into the ground and it covers the sand. فَبَعَثَ اللَّهُ غُرَابًا يَبْحَثُ فِي الْأَرْضِ يُرِيَهُ, to show Qabil كيف يواري سوءة أخيه, how he must bury the dead body, the corpse of his brother. When he saw this, فَأَصْبَحَ مِنَ النَّادِمِينَ, he became from the ashamed ones, from those who had shame now. This shame was not a shame of Tawbah. He felt, how stupid I am that a crow, a little bird had to come and show me how to bury the body of my brother. This nadamat, as the Thani al-Mazrui, other Mufassirin have explained, that this nadamat was not the nadamat of Tawbah. A person made a guna. Astaghfirullah, how could I do such a thing? He feels the remorse, the pain. He'll go and cry. He'll make amends. Yeah, he made no amends. There was no inkisar. There was no udhar, no excuse, and there was no tadaruk. He didn't go and make amends. He didn't look for a way of now seeking Allah's forgiveness. فَأَصْبَحَ مِنَ النَّادِمِينَ. But this nadamat was not the nadamat of a person who turns to Allah Ta'ala in sincere tawbah. So this had been mentioned also in Surah Al-Ma'idah, the story of Habil and Qabil. And many other aspects also, inshallah, tomorrow we continue. Allah give us tawfiq and hidayat. Wa akhir da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Subhanallah.